It is good to be here with y'all. I hope everyone's Christmas was at least decent, phenomenal. Mine was good. Why don't we pray together and then we will read the Bible a little bit. God, thank you for today. Thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, God, that when we read your word that you speak to us, that it is living and powerful. This morning, we are here because we together want to hear your voice in your word. So I pray that you would open our hearts to what we read, that your spirit would use your word to talk to us and reveal our sins and show us what you want from us. I pray that you would help me to explain well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are going through the book of Matthew, and last week we went backwards. Today we're going to go, well, not forward, we're going to stay in kind of the same place. But the idea that we've been looking at in the book of Matthew is, the stated goal of reading it together is, let's look at Jesus, listen to his words, so that we can imitate him and obey him. Very simple. That's why we're reading Matthew together. And look at chapter 4. There's a phrase that captured me. If you've been keeping up, we've already gone through this passage, but there's a phrase that even the first time I read it, it just captured me because, well, it's not the big idea necessarily of the passage, and so when we looked at this passage before, we didn't stop on this phrase, but look at chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And first of all, the thought that Jesus would be led by the Spirit, because he was God. And so it's still in my mind, every time I come upon a verse like this, and there's several in Luke as well that say something similar, I still have to remind myself, wait, he was God, but he put to one side his power, and he was led by the Holy Spirit. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit in his life. So Jesus was led by the Spirit. So the Spirit of God led Jesus. And you think, okay, so he led him. You know, Luke 6 maybe or 4, it says that he led Jesus he led him out of the desert, and then it was back into doing ministry. I understand that. But in this case, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And you say, well, to fast and pray. That seems to be a Spirit-led kind of thing. That's the kind of thing that I would expect the Holy Spirit to lead a child of God to do. But look at what it says. This is just the part that just, I don't know, bothers is the wrong word, but just grabs me. It's like, oh, that's not what I was expecting. Led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So the Holy Spirit leads the Son of God into the wilderness for the express purpose of him being tempted by the devil. Isn't that interesting? Not just that Jesus would need to be led by the Spirit and would follow the Spirit and not say, well, I'm the Son of God. I know what I'm about. I know what to do. I know where to go. But that he would obediently follow the Spirit of God, but that the Spirit would be leading him into the wilderness. No matter how you paint that, that's not a good place to be. Into the wilderness to be for the purpose of being tempted by the devil. Every time I read it, as I was getting ready for the messages about the temptation of Jesus and the couple messages we did about that, every time I read that, it just grabbed me. It's like, that is something. Because I think the reason why it grabs me is because, well, there's a couple things that it shows us. One, it shows us what we are like by nature. It calls out something in our character, the way we are naturally, and a huge problem that comes out of that. When I see Jesus being led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, what comes out of me is a realization, and my reality is that I'm very independent. Watching Jesus, the Son of God, the person with the most, well, he could have done whatever he wanted. He went with good right, but be obediently following God's Spirit and letting God's Spirit lead him to a very uncomfortable place physically and a very difficult place spiritually. Yeah, I contrast that immediately with my independence. I like to make my own decision. I wrote down we, but I'm going to talk about me. I'm guessing it's probably the same for you. But I like to make my own decisions. I detest people telling me what to do. I hate it. My wife will tell me something. It's like, we should do this. It's like, oh, just the fact that you're telling me that we should do that, and you're right. I don't want to do that. She doesn't tell me what to do. I don't tell her what to do. But when she suggests something that is right, it's like, oh, why couldn't I have been the one who said that? And then I would have wanted to do it. Now you said it, and so I'm like, oh, you got to do it, okay. You want to do that little thing where you wait a second and say, you know what we should do? And you say the same thing in different words, and then it's your idea, and you get to go along with it. I'm very independent. I don't like people to tell me what to do. I'll listen to your advice. I'll listen to your counsel. I'll listen to you. Even my boss, who pays me money to do what he says, I find myself falling into the I listen to him, and I kind of take it, on counsel. I'll take that as advice, but I'm going to make my own decision, even about what he really wants me to do. Even the biggest authorities in our life, we just take them as counsel many times. We act in such a way, it doesn't look like we're as independent or as rebellious as we really are, because we learn how to act in such a way that we do what we want, but we do it in such a way that we keep everybody around us happy, and we even make them think that we're obeying them. If you just throw back in your mind to when you were a teenager, isn't that a skill that we master? We make our parents think that we're obeying them, but really we're going to do whatever we want to anyway. Maybe not you. That's we obey enough, and we follow enough, and we listen to people enough, and we do what we should enough to not get into problems. But at the end of the day, we're very independent. And this goes all the way back to the original rebellion, to the original sin, when Adam and Eve, Lucifer, and then Adam and Eve, and then each one of us said, I want to be my own God. I want to be the own king of my own life, and I want to rule and reign supreme, so I'm the boss of me, and I do what I want. I'm my own boss, so I make my own decisions, and as a result, many times I find myself not truly connected to God. And this isn't something that I can like define or draw out or put up on a board, but I just a feeling I have. So many times in my life, I don't feel as connected to God as I know that I should. I'll even sing songs to God, and I don't feel as connected to Him as I should. And I think one of the big reasons that we don't truly feel connected to God, that we don't truly feel close and connected to our Heavenly Father, is because many times we aren't functioning, even if you're a Christian, even if you're repentant and baptized, many times we don't function in a correct relationship with God. He's God. I'm supposed to submit to Him. He's the King of the universe, and I'm supposed to let who He is be reflected in me by imitating Him. That's the way it's supposed to work. That's a correct relationship. But many times, even as God's child, I choose to be independent. And I try to reflect myself and not Him, and be like me and not be like Him. And as a result, I end up feeling far from God, because I'm still my own little independent person. And I come to church on Sundays and I practice my faith, but in reality, I feel far from God. And here's the reality is to be close to God truly, we have to leave aside our independence. That's what repentance is. It's coming back to God and saying, okay, you can be the boss of me. I will not make my own decisions. You will make my decisions. I will submit myself to you. It's submitting ourselves to the King of the universe. And here, isn't that what we see in Jesus? He's led by the Spirit. He lets Himself be led by the Spirit. And I think the reason that there's not a record here of a debate, a Jesus saying, I think God wants me to go into the wilderness and be tempted. I don't know. Let me pray about that for a while. Let me think about it. Let me talk to some other people and get some other advice. I think the reason why that's not in this text is because it didn't happen. I think that what we see here is Jesus, God saying, do this, and Jesus doing it. Him being led by the Spirit and obeying His Father immediately. He submitted Him. We see submission in this one verse. Jesus submitting Himself to the Father. I wrote down, in order to have a true connection with God, we have to leave aside our independence. Another way to say it is that God asks His children to surrender their will to Him. Even in things like this, where are you going to go today, Jesus? Well, the Spirit's leading me into the desert. What are you going to do? I'm going to be tempted. God is telling me what to do, and I'm following after Him. And the way this submission works, and we see it in this example with Jesus, is the way we submit to God is we let ourselves be led by the Spirit of God. If we're children of God, we should be led by the Spirit of God. That's our verse for today. That's our big idea. God's child is led by God's Spirit. If you and I profess to be God's children, we must allow our lives, our moment-to-moment decisions to be led by the Spirit of God. What we think and what we feel and what we do and what we say and where we go and who we talk to and what we say, we should be led by God. God's Spirit is led by God's children are led by God's Spirit, and the Spirit of God provides a connection. How did Jesus know that that's what God wanted him to do? Because God's Spirit was guiding him to do it. So how does it work? Well, we see two things in Jesus' life, how the Spirit of God guides the children of God. How does that whole thing work? If God's children are supposed to be guided by His Spirit, what does that look like? There's two things that we see with Jesus, and then we will look at verses that say that's the same for us. This God's Spirit abides in God's children, lives in, takes up residence in God's children, and God's Spirit guides God's children. God's Spirit abides in His children and guides His children. We see it in Jesus, and we'll see it in ourselves. Look up a little bit. I know we've already read these verses, but just bear with me. Matthew 3, verse 11. John the Baptist is talking to a big group of people. He says, "I baptize you with water, but He who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in His hands, and He will clear His threshing floor and gather His wheat into the barn, but the chaff He will burn with unquenchable fire." So even as John is calling people back to God, he says, someone's coming after me, and the way I'm calling you to repentance, He's going to call you to repentance, but He's going to give you God's Spirit. He will give you the Spirit of God. And then in verse 13, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by Him. John would have prevented Him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then He consented. And when John was baptized, and when Jesus was baptized, immediately He went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to Him. And He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on Him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." That's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God indwells in the children of God, abides in the children of God. We see it here in Jesus. And then, immediately after that, again, not coincidence, God's Spirit comes upon Jesus, and then what does He do? Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And if you look at Luke's account, Luke 4, 6, 4, both, two off, Luke 4, Jesus is led up by the Spirit into the wilderness, and then it says specifically He's led by the Spirit out of the wilderness. Luke talks a little bit more about how, a little more explicitly at the beginning of Jesus' ministry about how the Spirit led Him. But Matthew gives us this phrase, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So God's Spirit came to rest on Jesus and abided in Him, and then immediately started guiding Him and for later on empowering Him. So the Spirit abides in and guides God's children. And then look at Acts chapter 1. This passage is really neat because it's Jesus taking John's words and continuing the story forward with His followers with John's words. So Acts chapter 1 verse 5, for Jesus is talking, "For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So Jesus restates and reaffirms the promise that John made, that the one coming after him would baptize with the Holy Spirit, would give the Spirit of God to the children of God. And then chapter 1, verse 8 talks about it. Then Peter talks a little bit about it and about that happening. But skip down to Acts 2:37. So after the Spirit has come on the first disciples and they talk about Jesus to the crowd, specifically Peter does, then the crowd says, "What should we do?" They were cut to the heart. They said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" So they see these men who were filled with the Spirit of God. And Peter's explaining, what you're seeing is not that we're drunk or something weird is happening, but we are filled with the God Spirit, just like God promised. And it's what Jesus said would happen, and it happened shortly after that. And then Peter's explaining it, and then he says, and what's happening is that God sent the Messiah, and you killed the Messiah. You killed the rescuer that was sent from heaven. You killed him. And so they said, "What should we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent," verse 38, "Repent," that's turn in your heart and your mind, make a decision that you will surrender yourself to God, make a mental and heart decision, repent, turn from recognize where you are, that I am in rebellion against God, turn from that and be baptized. That's being immersed in water. That's the decision, repenting and being baptized. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ Jesus. We're surrendering to Christ in that moment for the forgiveness of your sins. So in that moment, God wipes out our sins, past, present, and future, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So Peter, he's winding up his explanation of why him and the rest of the apostles are able to talk in other languages. And so he ends, and he's saying that's because he started out by saying, this is the Holy Spirit, this is what God promised, and he's winding that up by telling everyone else, if you repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus, you'll receive the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's talking about what they have. And in verse 39, he says, for the promise, he makes it universal, in the same way Jesus did, for the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. So the Spirit of God dwelt in the Son of God, Son, capital S, Jesus, and the Spirit of God dwells in, abides in, resides in God's children, God's other son, small s, you and I, when we come to Jesus and surrender ourselves to him and put our confidence in him and in faith repent, turn our decide to follow him and are baptized, we repent and are baptized, God takes away our sins and he fills us with his Spirit. The Spirit of God abides in the children of God like he did on the Son of God. And then in Romans 8, the Spirit of God abides in and guides God's children. Look at Romans 8. I copied like half the chapter and put it in my notes, and I just too much to, look at the time, yeah, too much to for us to talk. So we're going to read one verse, and I'm sorry, I want to do more, but someday we'll go through Romans. That'll be a good couple, 3 years. Yeah, some of you got that because of Galatians. Okay, Romans 8, verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So God's Spirit abides in and guides God's children. So if God's children are led by the Spirit of God, what should you and I do? We should do what Jesus did. We should listen to and obey God. We should let the Spirit guide us. How do we let the Spirit guide us? We listen to God and we obey him. That's how we let the Spirit guide us. That's how it works. It's as easy as that. And it's also as difficult as that. It's as easy as that because we listen to God and we do what he says. Well, if you say, okay, what is a Christian supposed to do every day? Supposed to listen to God and do what he says. What is a Christian supposed to do throughout his whole life? Listen to God and do what he says. Let the Spirit guide him. Listen to God and do what he says. That's what Jesus did. That's what we should do. The Spirit of God abides in us and guides us. So we listen to God and we do what he says. That's easy. But when you go back to the beginning and you remember how independent and rebellious we are, and I always fall back to, I want to make my own decisions. I want to do what I want to do. It's really hard to listen to God and do what he says, but that's what the child of God is supposed to do. So how do we be led by the Spirit? How do we listen to God and do what he says as God's children? Well, first we have to, and this is kind of the obvious one, they're all kind of obvious. We have to receive him. In order to be filled with God's Spirit and be led by the Spirit of God, you have to receive the Spirit of God. You say, well, I don't know. I didn't have some kind of weird thing like I've seen on TV where people shake and fall on the ground. And that's not, as you've seen, that's not what happened in the Bible. How do you receive the Spirit of God? You repent and are baptized and make a decision to turn your life to Jesus and surrender to him. And when you are, in the same way that you can say, I know I'm forgiven of my sins, you can also say, I know that I am filled with the Spirit of God, that I have a connection between God and myself. You have to receive him. And if you haven't done that, then when you do that, when you make that decision, you will receive forgiveness of your sins. You will also receive God living inside of you, connecting you to the Father. He will abide in you. And if you've already made that decision, God the Spirit lives in you. I say, okay, so if God the Spirit is in me, then what do I do? How do I listen to him? How do I obey him? You say, okay, first of all, how do I listen to him? Well, how does he speak? How do we listen to the Holy Spirit? Primarily, we listen to the Spirit through the Word. We listen to the Spirit through the Word. This is the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6. This is the living, active Word of God. This is the Word of God that was inspired, that was breathed out, that was inspired by the Holy Spirit. So God speaks to us when we read this book. So I read this, and God talks to me. When I say talk and speak, I am not talking about an audible voice. Over the weekend, I was talking to a friend who was part of very different religious strain, and he at one time in his life heard what he thought was God, and it wasn't, but he thought it was, and it was an audible voice in his mind, not talking about that. If you hear audible voices, that's probably demons, not God. So when I say speak and hearing, I'm not talking about an audible voice, but when we read this, it's living and active, and God tells us what to do. He tells us what his will for us is when we read his word. That's how we listen. And when we have the Holy Spirit, he guides us. So there's an internal guidance, sometimes it manifests itself as our conscience when we do say, I shouldn't have done that. And for a Christian, that's the Holy Spirit guiding us. And sometimes there's been times when the thought has come into my mind, I need to pray for this person. I prayed for them. And then later I found out that was a moment when they needed to be prayed for. Who knew that? Though that's God leading me. There's times when I'm talking to someone, and like Jesus promised, the Spirit of my Father will give you the words to speak. I remember verses from the Bible that applied to that conversation. In that moment, I'm able to remember the verse. When I don't have a very good memory, I'm able to remember the verse that comes to mind. I'm able to say it. I'm able to explain it. I'm able to say what I need to say in that moment. Well, that could be the internal guiding of the Spirit. But mainly, we listen to the Spirit by listening to this book. So if you're not reading the Bible, how do you listen to the Spirit? We read this. We read this every day. We read it over and over again. And then we meditate. We think about, it's not going to meditate. We think about what we read as we go through the rest of our day. We read the Bible and we think about what we read, and we talk to God. We talk to God about what we've read and about our lives and about how those things connect. And we ask, and we fast and bring intensity into our relationship with God. And we do that over and over again, and we do it more and more regularly. And then we listen to God by asking him questions, by saying, what do you want me to change? What do I do that offends you? Do I need to ask forgiveness from someone? What's my persistent sin? You ask God those questions, and he will make you see, as you read the Bible and as you look at your life, he will make you see what the answer is to that question, because the Spirit convicts us of sin. When we ask God, what do you want me to do? Through his Spirit, many times he will tell, okay, what do you want me to do right now? What do you want me to do later? What do you want me to do in this decision that's happening? What should I do with the problem that's happening in my life? Many times I'll go running and I'll be praying and thinking about something and say, God, what do you want me to do? And I don't hear a voice, but as I think about it, and I know God is leading me because it coincides with the Word of God, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. When you're speaking to someone, Jesus said, the Spirit of my Father will give you the words to say. When we're speaking, what do you want me to say? Many times when I'm talking to my wife and I say, God, what do you want me to say? I don't hear a voice, but what I do hear, what I do know immediately in my spirit is what you're saying, the tone you're using, the words you're saying, I just know that's wrong. I need to become more like Jesus in this. What do you want me to say to this person in front of me that I don't know? Like Jesus, where do you want me to go today, after work today, next year, the next 10 years? What do you want me to do? Here's one that as I was writing this down, I thought I should ask this question more when I'm praying. What do you want me to feel? Because I talk about my emotions to God, but I very rarely say, what do you want me to feel? Should I be feeling gratitude right now instead of complaint? What do you want me to feel? And how do we discern? Okay, we're reading this, or we're praying, we're meditating on this. We want to hear God because we want to obey Him. How do we discern if what we're feeling that God is saying to us is really God, or if it's just me making it up, or if it's even an evil force that's trying to steer me wrong? How do we know? This is how we know what God's will is. When I think that I should do something, but it goes against this, that's not from God. When I think I should say something and it goes against us, that's not from God. When a verse of the Bible is brought to mind when I'm speaking to someone, that's probably from God. When I feel prompted to be kinder to my children, to my wife, that's probably from God. I don't think Satan would guide me in that direction. You see how that, but see, in order to really discern the voice of God, to listen to Him well and not just make up this imaginary thing that guides us wherever we want to really go, we have to know this. So it all starts and continues and ends with reading this book over and over and over again. And that's how we hear God's voice. And that's how we discern His guidance and if His guidance is from Him or not from Him. And then the second part, we listen, then we have to obey. It's easy to know what God wants us to do. What's your next step? What should I be doing? I know I should do that. We have to do what Jesus did. We have to just do it. We have to say, okay, God wants me to do this. God wants me to leave this sin. God wants me to be this kind of person. God wants me to talk to this person about Him. I know I should do this. We have to obey. We need to learn to be people who obey more. I have the phrase in Spanish in my mind. It's not coming out in English. More faster and more happier. That's not right. Faster and happier. Faster and happier. Because I drag my feet and I pray about it and I talk to my wife and I think I didn't. With things that I know that it's clearly from God, it's in compliance with His word, I just don't want to. And so I'll talk to other people and, you know, Ben, what do you think? I talk to him, what do you think? What do you think? No, just do what God tells you to do. Be like Jesus. When God tells you to do something, do it. When you're reading the Bible and He says, change this, and you say, okay, I'm just going to do it. We should quickly and happily obey. We should quickly and happily submit ourselves to Him without waiting, without discussing, without you know, the whole test of Gideon's test of putting a fleece out. God told him what to do, and he was testing it. Was he testing it to see if it was from God? No. He was testing it because he didn't want to do it, and he was hoping that God would change his mind, like Balaam and his donkey. We should just say yes and quickly and happily obey. Quickly, that's the phrase. That's my parents drilled that into me when I was a kid. How do we obey in this house, Philip? Quickly and happily, except normally when I was asked to say that, it came out quickly and happily. One quick thing before we end. We follow the Spirit. We have to remember God's grace as we follow the Spirit, because whenever we talk about obedience, listening and obeying, and that's the sum of a Christian life, and it is. That's what being a Christian is all about, listening and obeying, and you never arrive. So if you've been a Christian a long time and you say, I've gotten pretty much, no. God wants you to listen and obey just like Jesus did. And if you're a new Christian, you look at other people and say, okay, I got to do a lot of stuff and then I'll get there. You'll never get there. Our Christian life is about listening and obeying. Listening and obeying. God, what's the next thing you want me to do? Go to the Word. What's the next thing you want me to do? God, tell me what the next thing is, and I obey. Listen and obey. Listen and obey. As we talk about, though, the problem is that we talk about obedience, and then we can start feeling obligated and forced and even condemned and guilty for the times we don't obey, and we don't want to obey, and it just, we have to remember, whenever we're talking about obeying God, God's grace, His goodness, And even in this study, and especially in this study, the same Spirit that guides us in obedience, listen, the Spirit guides us in all righteousness, the Spirit guides us to obey, He's the sign that we're God's children. He's the sign that God loves us. It's the seal of the Spirit. He's the guarantee. He's the thing that we as Christians are supposed to be able to, in Paul's writing, we're supposed to be able to look at and say, that's how I know I'm a Christian. That's how I know God loves me. That's how I know I'm going to be resurrected from the dead. That's how I know that God loves me, even not because of what I do, but because of what Jesus did. That's how I know that I'm God's dearly beloved son or daughter, is because I have His Spirit. So the same Spirit that guides us to obey is also the greatest sign that we have that God loves us and that we're His children. And so as we listen and obey, just remember, we're freed to obey. We don't obey because we have to. We do, but we don't obey because we have to. We obey because we're God's dearly beloved children and He loves us. We remember grace as we follow the Spirit. So let me end with a question. What has God asked you to do that you still haven't done? If God's child is guided by God's Spirit, we should always be asking ourselves that question. Not just today, but let's ask it today. What has God asked you to do that you haven't done yet? Maybe it's, for you, it's making the decision to give yourself to Jesus, to repent and be baptized. If you know that God's wanted you to do that and you haven't done it yet, what's holding you back? Why not just say yes? And in this community, you tell someone, I'm ready. I'm ready to repent and be baptized. And you can do it. Maybe for you, that's not what God's telling you to do. You've done that a long time ago. But maybe there's another change in your life, something you're supposed to let go, something you're supposed to start, something you're supposed to do in your relationship with God, something you're supposed to do to help other people or with the church. Or I don't know what God's leading you to do. But for all of us, I know this, there's something that God's been pushing on each one of us to do this, and we've resisted, and why don't we listen and obey? Let's stand together, and we'll pray, and then we'll sing. God, we come to You, and wow, when we think that You invite us to be Your children, and on top of that, You put Your Spirit in us, and You connect us with You. You speak to us when we read Your word, and You guide us as we go about our life. God, we want to be people who, like Jesus, listen and obey. And we want it to be said, to be able to be said about us like it was about Jesus, that we are led by the Spirit. So God, please, as we read Your word this week, we ask it through Your Spirit that You would guide us, that You would show us what You want us to change. Show us what You want us to do, and help us to grow in being people who say yes to whatever You ask us. And God, I pray in this moment for the things that You've asked us already, that we're sitting on, that You would help us to say yes and to learn to be people who obey quickly and happily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.